is the same people that are corporatizing it, 9 times out of 10 don't smoke pot, look down on pot, always felt pot was taboo.
That's Sarah Woodson, executive director and founder of The Color of Cannabis. She says that cannabis dispensary chains like MedMen and Curaleaf have pushed smaller operators out of the industry. With private capital, these chains can afford the enormous taxes and fees that go along with running a cannabis business. On top of this, these corporations can mass produce products, keeping prices low and outcompeting smaller local farms. Though states like California have tried limiting the size of these operations, corporate dispensaries seem to always find a loophole. Aaron Smith, co-founder and CEO of the National Cannabis Industry Association, says it's a federal and state issue.
A lot of the problem lies with overtaxation at the state level, as well as unfair taxes at the federal level. So the prescription for this is federal policy reform and state policy reform. But at the federal level, for example, you have businesses that are unable to deduct regular expenses from their taxes because of a little known provision called 280E in the tax code that says that if you're trafficking in illegal narcotics, then you cannot deduct things like rent, marketing expenses, payroll expenses, anything associated with the quote unquote trafficking. And that means that, you know, your business is paying taxes on their gross receipt. Very few can succeed doing that. Even the larger businesses have a real hard time with this. And then also we need to start looking at some of the state taxes, which are becoming, you know, in some cases are very burdensome, and they're making it very difficult for small operators to have a price point that is appealing to the average consumer.
In addition to heavy taxes, many states require dispensaries to hire security, install cameras, and implement track and trace systems. Though these policies make the industry safer, it's a significant cost for a small business to bear. And with marijuana illegal at the federal level, cannabis companies aren't eligible for loans or other forms of financial support.
You have a lack of access to banking and financial services that other businesses can take for granted. So while a lot of businesses are accessing checking accounts and that sort of thing these days, it's still difficult for some. And it's also very difficult to access lending and traditional financing that really affects small businesses more than the bigger brands, because big companies have access to private capital as the small ones do not. So that's one other area of federal policy that can be remedied pretty quickly, would be to pass a bill called the Safer Banking Act in Congress, which would open up banking services to the industry and would disproportionately help small businesses.
If passed, the Safer Banking Act would provide legal protections to banks working with cannabis businesses, making services like checking accounts, loans, and insurance more widely accessible. Some states have also created social equity programs to try and give smaller operators, namely minority and women-owned companies, a leg up in the industry. These programs aim to give communities most impacted by criminalization a space in the legal cannabis market. While these initiatives have seen some success, they've also been met with fierce opposition.
In New York, what's happened now around social equity programs, which typically encompass women, minorities, small businesses, because for the most part, social equity across the nation in cannabis is gender neutral and race neutral. And so what you see is every time states like New York say, okay, we're going to make sure that we set aside licenses for these group of people that were here prior to the corporatization of cannabis, then again, a deep pocket will come in. They will sue. Right now in New York, they're now suing by saying that New York not allowing out-of-state operators in is discrimination. And so what we have traditionally always known to be discrimination, which is typically race-based, sex-based, age-based. Now, you know, the law is being applied as a sword versus a shield, and it's backfiring on small operators.
New York's initial plan was to grant half of all cannabis licenses to social equity applicants. For these candidates, licensing fees are significantly reduced, often slashed in half. Unfortunately, the New York program has been repeatedly challenged in court, and similar policies in California and Washington have spurred lawsuits as well. For activists like Woodson and Smith, who hoped legalization would break down barriers for minority and small business owners, it's frustrating to see these initiatives failing. For this reason, they both believe that for the industry to truly become more inclusive and equitable, cannabis must be legalized at the federal level.
At least when you have federal legalization, you no longer have issues with banking. There's just a lot, in my opinion, that federal legalization will do for the business community. But then I think what has been the most immoral about the whole way that we've regulated is there's still people in jail for selling cannabis, non-violent cannabis convictions. People are still in jail for this. And so that's the thing that we never talk about. And I think that federal legalization will make amends to that, and folks will have to be released.
In some states where marijuana is legal, non-violent offenders were issued pardons or had their records expunged. With federal legalizations, these pardons would happen across the country. Though it's unclear when exactly cannabis will be legalized at the federal level, Woodson and Smith are confident it'll happen eventually. When that day comes, Smith says it's important that our lawmakers keep social justice policies front and center. With the right regulations, there can be room for everyone in this flourishing sector. For more behind the scenes, check out Viewpoints Radio on X, Facebook, and Instagram. The story was written and produced by Grace Galante. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price. This segment is brought to you by Jackson Hewitt. Can't wait weeks for your tax refund? Then don't. At Jackson Hewitt, get money today if you're approved for a no-fee refund advance loan on a prepaid card. Book today at jacksonhewitt.com. No-fee refund advance offered to eligible clients. Application required. Loans by Republic Bank. Details at jacksonhewitt.com.
Understanding the push to ban certain books in school libraries when Viewpoints returns.
Jim Gaffigan here with some more Straight Talk. Now you can get a Walmart Plus membership, plus not pay for it, because it's included with Straight Talk wireless plans. You get free delivery with Walmart Plus, plus a Paramount Plus subscription included. Plus, you pay less for gas. That's a lot of pluses.
Only Straight Talk gives you unlimited 5G data and Walmart Plus included on select plans for free.
Straight Talk Wireless, available at Walmart.
Requires service on Gold or Platinum Unlimited. One offer per eligible account. Paramount Plus Essential Plan only. Separate registration required. Additional terms apply.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Denise has been playing jazz for 40 years. Last concert, one of the musicians fell sick with RSV. Respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is a highly contagious virus that can lead to breathing problems. This time, she's choosing to help protect herself with Pfizer's RSV vaccine, Abrysvo. Abrysvo is a vaccine for the prevention of lower respiratory tract disease caused by respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, in adults 60 years of age and older. Abrysvo is not for everyone and may not protect all who receive the vaccine. Don't get Abrysvo if you've had a severe allergic reaction to its ingredients. People with a weakened immune system may have a decreased response to Abrysvo. The most common side effects are tiredness, headache, pain at the injection site, and muscle pain. Ask your pharmacist or doctor about Pfizer's RSV vaccine, Abrysvo, respiratory syncytial virus vaccine. For full prescribing information, please call 1-844-989-7284 or visit Abrysvo.com. Brought to you by Pfizer.
What do To Kill a Mockingbird, Harry Potter, and Where the Wild Things Are all have in common? Other than being popular children's books, there's something else that these classics share. All three are among the growing list of novels banned in many U.S. school libraries. While controversial books have been challenged in the past, it seems like lately they're facing more opposition than ever before.
over the past 2 years, we've seen a growing kind of snowball around book bans. It started in Texas with the circulation of lists of books and angry parents and citizens coming to school board meetings demanding the removal and censorship of those books. And then before you knew it, it was happening in many states. You had not only more groups forming with the goal of removing books from schools, but politicians jumping in on this as well. And in some cases, you know, demanding that schools remove certain books, but in other cases, starting to compose and even pass new laws that essentially serve to facilitate or encourage book banning of one kind or another.
That's Jonathan Friedman, Director of Free Expression and Education Programs at PEN America, a nonprofit focused on celebrating literature and protecting free expression. He says that these bans aren't new. In fact, books have faced censorship as far back as the colonial era. However, today, it's reached a different level. A growing number of states, such as Oklahoma, Missouri, and Utah, have all passed book banning legislation. But no state has taken it as far as Florida. The state's Don't Say Gay bill that passed last March bans the discussion of LGBTQ issues for students in third grade and below. This has led to books about gender and sexual orientation being wiped from school libraries, effectively also removing access for kids in higher grades.
Across Florida, many school districts have interpreted this to mean that they have to remove all books with any LGBTQ content whatsoever, particularly from classrooms or even school libraries. And the concern that, you know, a third grader might access one such book and somehow be breaking this law means that, say, a whole elementary school will just take all such books out of their library.
On top of banning LGBTQ content, these laws also target books that discuss critical race theory or have sexually explicit content.
There has been a pretty consistent streak of targeting books that have to do with race or racism or American history. This is how you have situations where a biography of Martin Luther King or Rosa Parks could end up banned in a school district for one reason or another. The second set of targeted topics is LGBTQ identities, and that has really ranged from books that are young adult fiction to, say, a children's book that just presents a same-sex couple, even innocuously. They're just, this kid has two moms. People don't want students to have any access to that and knowledge of those identities and families whatsoever. And then the third most prominent theme is about sexual content. There are groups who have long been opposed to sex education in public schools, and some of them have been very heavily involved in drawing attention to this, but also sharing lists of books online that have some kind of sexual content in them and encouraging schools to remove them.
One of these groups is Moms for Liberty, a nonprofit organization that seeks to protect parental rights in education. They've been one of the biggest driving forces behind book banning legislation. One mom, Tia Bess, is a volunteer who joined the group after her daughter checked out a popular fiction book from the school library with a graphic sex scene.
What piqued my interest is when it happened to my own daughter. Because at first I was in denial, like, well, I mean, come on, these people, they're crazy. They're making something from nothing. They're over-exaggerating. What's a book gonna do? But then my daughter's school, she had a book in her hand that was worse than 50 Shades of Grey, in my opinion. She's 14 years old in the junior high. She's in middle school. That means this book is available for 11, 12, and 13.
Not only did this raise concern for her daughter, but also for her 7-year-old son with autism. Bess feels that he's not ready to learn about certain topics and also sometimes struggles to read social cues.
My biggest concern is, what about the children who have autism? What about the kids that have special needs? If they see it, they're going to do it. I'm not sheltering my son. I just know that he's not ready for it.
As for books that discuss LGBTQ and racial issues, Bess believes that they don't need to be banned completely, but should require an adult signature sign-off. As an African-American woman and a member of the LGBTQ community herself, Bess adds that it's important that students learn about these topics. However, she prefers that these conversations are had in the privacy of one's home rather than at school. Like many other members of Moms for Liberty, she believes it's a parent's right to control when and how their children learn about these subjects. That's why Bess advocated for Florida House Bill 1467, also known as the K-12 Education Act, which went into effect on January 1st.
Basically, this law requires that books in the elementary classrooms be age-appropriate and grade level. I mean, that's real clear for me. If you want more for your child, go to the public library. I support this piece of legislation because I have that child that I can't protect. I can't always be there with him. You know, he's not going to have someone at school with him to tell him, hey, don't read this. That's not appropriate for you. If you're going to put it within hand's reach, it should be appropriate.
On the other hand, Friedman argues that school libraries already have a system in place to make sure students like Bess's son are only accessing age-appropriate content.
A lot of the times people are talking about the issue of age appropriateness, but they don't have necessarily alternative solutions. What you will find is that actually many schools and librarians in particular have developed sensible systems to already adjudicate this. They have ways of seeing what kinds of books are interesting to students at different ages. They are attuned to the fact that two students of the same age can read with vastly different interests and abilities. And so it's actually the purpose of a library to have a wide range of content available. And, you know, anyone who's been a teacher for many years has learned what kinds of topics are age appropriate and developmentally appropriate and how to explain them to students in ways that students can understand.
He adds that by removing books in schools that discuss controversial or sensitive subject matter, we're cutting off young people from forming their own well-rounded opinions. This deletion of information disproportionately silences the voices of minorities, the LGBTQ community, and other vulnerable populations. But Bess believes that exposing kids to certain books could hinder growth. For example, the book Push, which was turned into the movie Precious, is available at her children's school library. The book discusses sexual assault and teen pregnancy, both of which are topics she doesn't think they're ready to learn about just yet. Plus, she says that stories like Push can be traumatizing and triggering to children who've dealt with these issues at home. For Bess, banning books has nothing to do with political ideologies, but everything to do with protecting her kids.
I want all of my kids to be the best versions of themselves without outside interference. It's not a one-sided argument. It's for both sides of the fence, regardless if you're Democrat, Republican, even if you don't vote at all. We all have kids. We're all parents. We all want to heal generational curses and prevent trauma.
Despite conflicting views on the issue, one thing is for certain. These book bans are escalating to a new level.
This situation is becoming one in which people are trying to institutionalize book banning as a more regular part of schools and more narrowly dictate what can and cannot be taught and thought about in school places. And that's concern when we think about the role of education and public education in particular in a democratic society.
There are two sides to every argument, and this, no doubt, is an important ongoing debate. To find out more about this topic and our guests, Jonathan Friedman and Tia Bess, visit viewpointsradio.org. This segment was written and produced by Grace Galanti. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
Jim Gaffigan here with some more straight talk. Let's take a moment to appreciate our sweet children, loving grandparents, and eternal soulmates. Now let's use them to save money on wireless. Because with the Straight Talk Silver plan, you get four lines for just $25 a month with unlimited data and no contracts. So add those human pawns, I mean loved ones, and save money. Thanks, kids. You're finally worth it. Straight Talk Wireless, available at Walmart.
Get four lines on Silver Unlimited for $25 per line per month, plus taxes and fees. For data management practices and additional terms, visit straighttalk.com.
Each week on the Viewpoints Radio podcast, you'll hear from our leading experts on an important topic within education, history, society, psychology, and more.
If you can show a good money personality, one where you've got good values around how you acquire, how you use, and how you manage money, those patterns will be passed along generations.
Viewpoints Radio podcast is produced by our team of award-winning journalists. Subscribe today by searching Viewpoints Radio wherever you listen to podcasts.
This This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. More than 95 years ago, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was born in Atlanta, Georgia. Today, the minister is best known for his many contributions to the civil rights movement, where he encouraged millions to participate in nonviolent, peaceful forms of protest. But this wasn't always the case. After his assassination in 1968, supporters began looking for ways to honor his memory. Coretta Scott King and several other civil rights organizations called for his birthday to be declared an American holiday. But even in death, many were threatened by the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. It took 15 years and over 6 million petition signatures before Congress finally declared MLK Day a federal holiday in 1983. However, the battle didn't stop there. Before MLK Day became the widely celebrated day of remembrance it is now, each state had to individually approve the legislation. To no surprise, this was met with heavy defiance. It wasn't until the year 2000 that all 50 states finally declared the third Monday of every January MLK Day. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. The lines between what is TV and what is a movie have never been shakier. A few years ago, the third season of Twin Peaks caused a controversy, as some outlets considered it a TV show and others considered it a movie. The long-form 30 for 30 documentary OJ Made in America won an Oscar, and the Academy then changed its rules to ensure copycat series-length movies cannot win in the future, meaning The Last Dance is ineligible this year. Still, nothing really prepared us for director Steve McQueen's Small Axe series. The series aired in the UK as 5 separate weekly installments, and it was similarly put up on Amazon Prime in America on a weekly basis. Still, each so-called episode was a distinct, standalone feature film. As such, the industry has struggled to categorize it. Essentially, though, the whole thing is semantics, and the ultimate point to be made with Small Axe is that it's an extraordinary director working at the top of his game. Steve McQueen, who also directed 12 Years a Slave and Widows, made the Small Axe series of films about the West Indian culture in London during the 60s and 70s. The films range in subject matter and genre, tackling the courtroom drama, a coming-of-age film, a dance party movie, and more. Collectively, they are the Small Axe anthology, but individually they are called Mangrove, Lubber's Rock, Red, White, and Blue, Alex Weedle, and Education. All 5 Small Axe films are now streaming on Prime Video. I'm Evan Rook.
Thanks for calling Discover. This is Anjali.
Hi, it's Jennifer Coolidge. I just got an alert for a strange charge on my card.
No problem. We make sure you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases on your Discover card. Let's see. Did you purchase something from a t-shirt cannon store yesterday?
Absolutely not. No, I already have like 3.
$0 fraud liability guarantee. It pays to Discover. Learn more at discover.com/credit card. Limitations apply.
Can't sleep with this cold.
Honey.
Honey?
Honey, you need NyQuil Severe Honey.
NyQuil Severe Honey gives you powerful cold and flu symptom relief with a dreamy honey taste.
Feeling better, honey? Honey? I'll take that as a yes.
Try NyQuil Severe Honey for powerful cold and flu symptom relief. NyQuil Severe with honey flavor. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, fever. Honeylicious, best sleep with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows. And find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
I got it good, girl, 'cause
Cause I got myself a good girl. Yeah, you up and took my whole world and made it so good, girl. You're an angel, you're a keeper, the kind of thing that you gotta lock down. I'm loving, just living, every minute since you came around. I was lost in the neon lights till the day that you called me yours. Yeah. And they say when you know, and I know one thing for sure. I got it good, girl, cause I got myself a good girl. Still can't believe I found you, can't imagine life without you. I could take you home to mama, take you to the church right down the street. Yeah, you up and took my whole world and made it so good, girl. So good, baby. Yeah. You know sometimes I dream about 55 years from now, gonna still be you and me watching that sun. Till the day that you call me yours. They say when you know, and I know one thing for sure. I got it good, girl, cause I got myself a good girl. Still can't believe I found you, can't imagine life without you.
Country. I can see you by the bar, skinny margarita with a broken heart. So I slid over like a steel guitar. We started talking till I saw your boots bounce to the beat. You said, do you dance, wanna dance with me? Next thing I know, I started to think that we might be on to something. You're putting on a show. Take it slow, there's something here I know. I can feel it in the air, feel it in the whiskey in my hand, in your hips. Nobody tells me when you start to dance. Maybe this is turning to a wish. Should probably get up out of here. Oh baby, I swear, I can feel it in the air. I can feel it.
Looking at
can feel. Song, I'll go back. time it stopped right in its tracks. Every time I hear that song, I go back, I go back. We all have a song that somehow stamped our lives. I go back to the pew, preacher and a choir, singing about God and brimstone and fire, and the smell of Sunday chicken after church. And I go back to the loss of a real good friend, and the 16 summers I shared with him. Now only the good die young stops me in my tracks. Every time I hear that song,
yesterday's classics, 98 Q Country.
It was always hotter than the grease she used to fry that chicken. Smelled like Marlboro Reds and all the butter from her biscuits. And that Lincoln in the driveway circa 1982 was on the shiny side of rusty and on the pale side of blue. The cousin ain't complaining, weren't allowed in Mamaw's house. If every nightstand had a Bible, every front porch had a swing. If every backyard had a garden, every front door had a screen. Well, maybe this crazy world straightened up and slow.
This $750?
Yes, that $750. Where did you get all that cash?
Since it's January, I went to JanuaryCash2024.com and got $750.
You got $750?
Yes. Just go to JanuaryCash2024.com this month and follow the simple instructions on the site. Once you finish, the $750 is yours.
It's that easy to get $750?
It is, but only in January. You just answer the basic questions on the site, complete the deals they show you, and get $750 sent to your Venmo or PayPal.
I'm always short on cash. I'm going to JanuaryCash2024.com right now to get my $750.
Ready to get your $750? Get started right now at JanuaryCash2024.com. Remember, this offer is only valid in January, so go to JanuaryCash2024.com. Just go to JanuaryCash2024.com. Follow the simple instructions and get your $750. Go to JanuaryCash2024.com. That's JanuaryCash2024.com. Don't wait. It's this month only. Go to JanuaryCash2024.com. JanuaryCash2024.com. JanuaryCash2024.com.
If you like it now.
Hot new country.
If you liked it then.
I like hearing songs that I know.
You'll love us.
98Q Country.
If your cares turn me to stone, I'd be a statue standing tall in ancient Rome. And if your touch shattered me like glass, I'd be in pieces trying to make the breaking last. If it took one look, turn my days to night, at least I'd have the stars that sparkle in your eyes. There's just some things that leave a man no choice, like a compass needle needing its true north. Even if I knew the day we met you'd be the reason
favorites and yesterday's classics. 98Q Country.
works out. If I met someone or if I didn't, honestly, it's none of your business anyway. Cause at the end of the day, it ain't your place to walk up, say, hey, ask how I've been at some party. It ain't your place to ask my friends when you see them out if I'm seeing somebody. You don't get to call me up cause you're drunk. 2 a.m. say you miss us. No, you don't get to care where I'm waking up these days. It ain't your place. No, it ain't your place. No. Don't say come over, don't swear that you did. You made your bed, I ain't sleeping in. It ain't your place to walk up, say hey, ask how I've been at some party.
Weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see a partly sunny sky today. Breezy south winds up over 30 and 35 miles per hour, or highs reaching the upper teens. In the overnight, clouds will stick around and our temperatures will hold steady in the middle teens as that south wind stays breezy. It's zero at our studios.
I'm a big football fan. Want to get back to the game?
98Q Country.
Yeah, this could be your last drink from a stranger in a bar. The last time that you're dancing in unfamiliar arms. Yeah, this could be your last first kiss if we do this thing.
Yeah.
today's favorites and yesterday's classics.
This morning.